Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast, Bryce Diamond, and we're talking Raptors basketball after the San Antonio Spurs hosted the Raptors in San Antonio. Very, very competitive ball game, very compelling ball game, and we'll get to that in just a sec. As I said to you, on Thursday, when I recorded the last podcast after a tough loss in Philly, I let you know that I was on a trip with my mom, so I was going to take some time off, which I did. And yeah, actually, it wasn't after the loss to Philly, it was after the win against the Bucks. That's right, they hadn't played Philly yet. I watched that game at night, and that was an interesting game. Kind of, you know, some back and forth action. But I'm not really going to talk about that one. We don't need to talk about another loss to Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Nick Nurse and the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to talk about the San Antonio Spurs. So the Raptors go into this game, they're 2-4. Two of those four losses were, of course, to the Philadelphia 76ers. And I actually watched this game in Charleston, South Carolina, where I was for four nights with my mom. Bless Sharon Diamond's heart for taking me along with her on the road as my dad decided to take this trip off, stay on the bench, and I subbed in, and it was a hell of a trip. Charleston's an interesting city, tons of history. I got to go to the African American History Museum. It's actually called the International African American Museum. Just opened up in the last year. The city, surrounding towns really came together for this one. Some big company donations, some big individual donations, a city worth going to learn a lot about African-American history. It's rich, as rich as the food. I got to have three very Southern meals while I was there, two very memorable Southern meals. One was at a restaurant called Husk. No, this is not an endorsement that I'm giving. There's no money that I'm getting for this, but I will endorse them and say the meal was great. I would return. The other meal was at a seafood spot not too far from one of the piers in Charleston, and that was Amen Street, and my mom and I definitely were singing the praises of the restaurant at the end. Had some really good local beers. During the week, Charleston is called the Holy City, and they have the most churches per capita in the downtown. And it seems like, you know, the church building is on every corner, but one of the brewing companies is called Holy City Brewing. Some solid beers there, but a really good trip. I hope to do it, maybe not to Charleston, but hope to do another trip with my mom in years to come. So Dad, I know you listen to the pod a lot more than Mom. If you need a sub, know I'm a super sub. I'm the sixth man. I can come off the bench and make those buckets so that Mom can get down to the places that she likes to go to, whether it be the States or in Canada. All right. So I watched the San Antonio. Let's get back to basketball. I watched the Spurs-Raps game in Charleston. Just in the hotel room, actually. It was an afternoon game, 3:30 tip, and that's kind of nap time or decompress time after, you know, walking around the town. My mom got and I got into that routine, and so I was able to watch the Raptors-Spurs game before dinner, and a lot of fun this game. Certainly not a lot of fun from a Raptors perspective, but the Spurs got up by 19 at the half. Nothing really going well for the Raptors offensively. That half-court offense continued to be abysmal, and they really couldn't get into transition. San Antonio dominated the glass, both sides, and it just was a really slow start. Pascal, Scotty really struggled getting to the basket. They struggled knowing that Wemby was there. Zach Collins had a decent game, and OG Anunoby really struggled. And something that we've seen from the Raps, when there is a big presence, we played against Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Minnesota. We played against Joel Embiid, DeAndre Ayton for Portland, and then Wemby. When there is that 7-footer, and in a lot of those cases, 7'2", 7'3", 7'4", they're going against, it just really makes life difficult. They have to shoot the three ball well, which they did against Minnesota and against Philly in the first Philly game, but really struggled in the second Philly game, the Portland game, and the San Antonio game. I mean, they were on pace for 70 points because of 35 points at the half. However, they turned the game completely around against San Antonio. And even though they were down 22 at one point in the second half, early second half, down 71-51, calling another timeout, finding themselves down 83-64 when they had made it somewhat interesting, getting the ball game within 12. Gary Trent Jr. made some buckets. Malachi Flynn was getting into the game to try and get that second unit going. Otto Porter hit a couple buckets. Just as quick as they did that, San Antonio bounced the lead back up to almost 20 points, 83-64. And the Raptors were asking questions, but were not getting any of the positive answers that they wanted. San Antonio, on the other hand, had lots of scores and, again, continued to dominate the glass, particularly taking advantage of the Raptors on the offensive glass. Zach Collins, as I said before, had a good game. He was getting putbacks. Wemby was as well. Keldon Johnson was shooting the ball well, but also getting some offensive rebounds. And that was kind of the theme for San Antonio throughout the whole game. The Raptors, though, did not want to go down easy. And it was interesting to listen to Dennis Schroeder in a post-game interview. He was talking about Darko Rajakovic's halftime speech to the team, down 19 at the half, offense really struggling. And Dennis said that, you know, the team had two choices, to just kind of say they're done or make a game of it and be positive and continue to do the things that they're doing well and to make adjustments. And a lot of that had to do with assertiveness, and it had a lot to do with confidence. It had a lot to do with playing together. Pascal Siakam really did struggle in this game. I think he was 1 of 10 through four quarters and just could not get going at all. However, Dennis Schroeder had a nice second half. OG Anunoby hit some big buckets. Gary Trent hit a big three. Otto Porter as well in the fourth quarter. And the Raptors got the lead down to 12. They got the lead down to 5. And through Gary Trent Jr., got the lead down to 2. Now, San Antonio seemed to have Lady Luck on their side. I don't know if the Irish was on their side, if they had, you know, Greg Popovich was holding rabbit's feet in the fourth quarter, but the ball seemed to bounce their way time and time again, late fourth quarter with the Raptors really making it a ball game, really cranking up the stress and anxiety levels of the San Antonio fans. And although they got the game down to 96-94, San Antonio got it back up to 102-104. And to be honest, at that stage, I thought San Antonio had the game. I really didn't think the Raptors could get back into it again, having been down 19, having been down 22, getting the game within 2 points, and then being back 8. There's just so much energy you're expending to come back, especially on the road. There isn't that, you know, high of the crowd being on your side and the high of seeing the team that you're playing against be deflated, struggle in their confidence. But the Raptors stayed in there. Otto Porter made another three. Scotty Barnes made big shots. OG Anunoby would be relentless for the Raps on both ends. And as bad as Pascal Siakam was offensively, he cranked it up in those last 4 minutes defensively. Unfortunately for the Raptors, there was three plays that really went against them. They had a tough bounce after a jump ball, go to San Antonio, and, you know, they made kind of a fluky shot with just like a second to go on the shot clock. Wembanyama, Vic made a ridiculous pass after another jump ball in the half court, and with the shot clock expiring, San Antonio had a corner pocket three. And then finally, the Raptors had the refs kind of against them, really. They called a foot foul. A foot foul. This is not tennis. This is not long jump. This was the officials saying that Pascal Siakam's foot impacted Keldon Johnson's ability to get the ball. Even though the ball was pretty much out of bounds already, even though Pascal's contact with Keldon Johnson's foot was also because he was going for the ball. And despite this being a 50-50 play, the refs held up the challenge that the Raptors went with, having kept their challenge, which is really wise. This is why you keep your challenges for the last minute or two of the ball game. And San Antonio somehow won the challenge, got the call in their favor, and were able to get a chance to score. They did score, and the Raptors looked kind of dead in the water with just 15 seconds left or 12 seconds left in this ball game. However, the Raptors stayed confident, as my voice cracked, stayed confident, stayed focused, and were able to execute a half-court play. The shot didn't go down, but finally the ball bounced the Raptors' way. OG Anunoby got an offensive rebound after Zach Collins, I believe, bobbled the ball. OG made a bucket in the lane with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. On the game clock. San Antonio would miss, and the Raptors would get a chance to shoot the ball with 0.2 seconds of the clock. They missed, and this game would go into overtime tied at 110. Now, if you recall, the Raptors only scored 35 points in the first half, on pace for 70 points, 7-0. The Raptors actually scored 75 points, a ridiculous turnaround to see them get to 110. 75 points in the second half, more than doubling their first half total. It was just incredible, the turnaround. It really was. San Antonio had no real answers for the Raptors' aggression for the Raptors, focus and determination, and the game went to overtime. And in the overtime, who made a big three early going in the overtime? Pascal Siakam. Talk about a guy who believed in himself, took a page out of Freddie Van Vliet and bet on himself, drilling a three early in that overtime session. San Antonio ran out of luck and ran out of offense, of imagination. The Raptors did get up. Scottie Barnes continued to be an absolute force. 28 points on the game, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. He was the best player in this game. And as much as the spotlight was on Vic, a.k.a. Wemby, Scottie Barnes was the best player between both teams. Yes, he had help, but Scottie Barnes made monster shots throughout the second half, down the stretch of the ball game, and then into the fourth quarter. Pascal made some free throws, OG made some free throws, and the Toronto Raptors were able to win in overtime on the road in San Antonio after being down 22 in the second half and won it 123-116. It's one of those games that I hope propels them. You know, they threw that game away against Chicago in Chicago. They were up 17 in the fourth, late fourth, and here they were down, you know, 19 points late third quarter, and they were able to just put it all together, play together, and really overwhelm San Antonio, not just to tie the game up to go into overtime, but then in the overtime itself, winning the overtime period 13-6. Really impressive win. And knowing how good San Antonio has played, of course, coming back against Phoenix and holding on to that game, then Phoenix coming back down 20-plus points against San Antonio, and San Antonio had the resilience to win that game, you would have thought the Raptors wouldn't have been all that scary to them, wouldn't have been able to be as successful as they were, but they were, and it was a great win, and you love to see it. You know, it's a big turnaround. It's a big contrast from that loss in Chicago. Good to see the Raps improve on the road. I believe that was their only road win of the season, having lost in Chicago and in Philadelphia. And hopefully that can continue against Dallas. Of course, Dallas has two of the best offensive players in the league. You know, Luka Doncic has been really on another level offensively to start the season. And Kyrie Irving has been a great number two. And they will have their hands full with this team and with their young rookie. Grant Williams continues to grow in his game. He has had some 20-plus point scoring games for Dallas. So it will not be an easy matchup for the Raptors. Of course, they will face Canadian Dwight Powell, which will be nice to see him. But this is a Raptors team that will have their hands full. I learned today, thanks to Blake Murphy, that the Raptors are the sixth best defense through 7 games of the season. And that is really good to see. Hopefully, they can continue that elite level. If they can protect the defensive glass, they will, I think, be that much better with their defense. And you know, to some extent, this is a team that is going to be challenging for a top 5 position in the NBA defensively, and have a guy who, if he's not in the top 10 on that All-NBA team 1, team 2, OG Anunoby is going to be a really good candidate if the Raptors defense continues to play at this level, in that top six, top five level. OG Anunoby is going to be considered an first-team All-NBA defense and maybe even a Defensive Player of the Year candidate in the top three. We will see. They are in Dallas. Dennis Schroeder, in his interview, did it from Dallas with Will Liu and Blake Murphy. And really good to see Dennis being so open, but also being so positive about this team, knowing that they haven't played their best games yet and their best basketball is still very much ahead of them. Dennis Schroeder, on a Dennis Schroeder note, he continues to shoot the three ball near 40% and is fifth in the league in assists through seven games. Let's hope he can continue that. If so, I think the Raptors will be very competitive in Dallas and maybe pull off a victory. But for the win against San Antonio, boy, nothing stings, nothing burns like the cold. The North comes into Texas and really puts a freeze on. I think I don't do treat, boy, I'm on your culture. I'm on your culture.